Vayishlach. Vayishlach is a jam-packed parasha, like all the parashas. There are a lot of stories. Each story in of itself is a major topic of discussion. But there definitely appears to be patterns and repetition of concepts in the parasha that bring together some of these stories. Let's try to look at least for one or two examples. Okay, first thing is Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Ochiv. Let's start with that. There's a very popular Baal HaTurim. This Baal HaTurim is quoted by everyone. The Baal HaTurim on this first pasuk takes note of the first letters of the first four words. Vayishlach is Vav, Yaakov is Yud, Malachim is Mem, and Lifanav is Lamed. What do those first letters spell? Va-yo-mol. Va-yo-mol. I'll read the Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim says, where is the Baal HaTurim? One second. Vayishlach im lovan garati. Wait a second. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. All right, I don't even see. It must be further down. It must be further ahead. Okay, it must be further ahead. I'm certain it's a Baal HaTurim. For the moment here, I can't find it. But there's a Baal HaTurim over here on the page. I have to just find it. I think it's a little bit later on when the Malachim greet him. And the Baal HaTurim says the words Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav is Vav Yud Nem Lam Vayomol. What does that mean? What do you mean Vayomol? The first Rashi of the Pasha is very, very, very bizarre. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, Malachim literally means messengers. And indeed, that is what it says in the Targum. We learned the Targum in the afternoon. Is Gadin. Is Gadin is the translation for the word messengers. Rashi disagrees with Unkelus. Rashi tells us, Malachim, Malachim, Mamosh. He sent angels. Everyone here was taught in kindergarten that every time you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. I'm sure everyone heard that at some point in time in their upbringing. Maybe you taught this to your children. When you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. Look, ein lanu esek bin nistarais. We don't know what these things mean, but in Kabbalah in the Kabbalah, Yaakov Avinu, living with Lavan for 20 years, had billions of malachim. He did many, many mitzvahs. We have no doubt about that. And every time Yaakov Avinu did a mitzvah, he created a malach, an advocate. Okay, whatever, however you want to go understand this concept, whatever this concept means, when the person does a mitzvah, he has a zuchus. He has an advocate in Shemayim. And that zuchus takes on the form of a malach. It's a mystical concept. But Rashi says, so we put together the words of the Baal HaTurim with the words of Rashi, and Yaakov Avinu, when he sent messengers to Esav, I'm coming your way, I'm coming to greet you, he sent messengers. Yaakov looked at all of the mitzvahs, all of his advocates that he created over the last 20 years. Let's assume he put on tefillin. Let's assume he observed Shabbos. Let's assume he gave tzedakah. Let's assume he took lulav and esrog. Whatever, he blew shofar, whatever it is, he did a lot of mitzvahs. Whatever he did, whatever the mitzvahs were, whatever he was involved in, he was doing a mitzvah. He selected the malachim that were created from Bris Milah. At this point in time, he has 11 children. That means he has performed the mitzvah of Bris Milah on his children 11 times. He took those malachim that were created from the mitzvah of Bris Milah, they were selected to be the messengers that would greet Esav, his brother. Okay, that's what happens when you take together the Rashi and the Baal HaTurim. Again, Rashi says, Malachim Mamish. He sent messengers. The Baal HaTurim says, the first words of the Pasuk, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav, is Vav Yud Mem Lamed Vayomol. And when we put these two together, and we remember what we were taught in kindergarten, that when a person does a mitzvah, in Shemayim he has a merit. And that merit takes on the form of an angel, whatever that means, a malach. Yaakov Avinu had many, many advocates, many zechuyos in Shemayim. He selected the malachim that represented the zechus of Bris Milah. He took those malachim that were created from the Bris Milah of his 11 children, he sent them to be the messengers that will greet his brother Esav. The question is why? Why would he select malachim that came from Bris Milah to greet Esav? So Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu was terrified of Esav for two reasons. One reason was Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Esav had the zuchus of living in Eretz Yisrael for these last 20 years, and Yaakov was chutz laretz. And number two is kibud av va'im. For the last 20 years, who was there every single day serving Yitzchak and Rivka? Esav. Esav every day came into the house. Dad, what could I do for you today? Mom, how can I help you? You want me to go shopping? What?
I don't know about the mom.
Okay, mom part is complicated. But it's not, we don't have any chazal to tell us that he tortured his mother. Mistama, you know, you live at home. You know, not everyone gets along with their parents 100%, but just being there was self is a comfort. Mm-hmm. He was there. Okay, he 99% of life is about showing up. He showed up. Whether he was good or not, he showed up. Yaakov did not show up. Now, of course, Yaakov was also had a mitzvah of kibud av va'im to flee for his life, and he was told to leave. But still, in a doime, kibud av va'im, when you are present, when you are there, compared to doing a kibud av va'im, going on a mission, going away for 20 years. Yaakov was very worried. Even though Yaakov was a tzaddik, and Yaakov was a good, honest man, and Esav was no tzaddikal, he was a ratzeach, he was a manipulator, he was a cunning, shrewd, who knows what he did. But the bottom line is, he had sechusim, he had merits. Kibud avoim, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov's in trouble. So what is Yaakov going to do? Yaakov is afraid that maybe those merits will outweigh all of his merits. Yaakov sent angels of Bris Milah. Now let's go to the Mishnah Masechta Kiddushin. The Mishnah Masechta Kiddushin says, there are certain class of mitzvahs that are called mitzvahs habein al ho'af. There's a certain category of mitzvahs which are called mitzvahs that are done to your child, and the one that has the responsibility to do the mitzvah is the father. Most mitzvahs you do yourself. I put on my own tefillin. I shake a lulav and esrog, I blow shofar, I eat kosher. Mitzvahs are pretty much private. There are a few things that the essence of the mitzvah is to bridge the relationship between a father and a child. And one of those mitzvahs, in fact, the primary mitzvah which bridges the generation gap, is Bris Milah. When a child is born, whose mitzvah is it that the child should have a Bris Milah? Not the child. The child has absolutely no obligation that it should have a Bris Milah. Absolutely zero. If the child is 13 years old and then he discovers that he has no Bris Milah, then he has an obligation to have a Bris Milah. That's a secondary obligation. The mitzvah d'oraisas of Bris Milah, it is a mitzvah to the father. The child is the object. Father as a child, it is the father's duty. It is his mitzvah to make sure that his child has a Bris Milah. Either he should do the Bris Milah himself, if he can, he should get an agent. But by a Bris Milah, every Bris Milah, the father makes the bracha. The Moel makes the bracha on the one, Al Sherek, the Shon, but Mitzvah, Al Hamilah. But the father, the Avi Aben, he makes the bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzvonu l'hachnisa b'v'risoy shel Avraham Avinu. He makes the bracha. It's his mitzvah. Bris milah is the mitzvah that bridges the generation gap. When a person walks around his whole life with a mark, with the choysam, the seal of bris milah, who is responsible for the fact that there is a permanent change in my body of a circumcision? It's my father. So when a person, his whole life, every second of his life, the impact of his father is there. Not just that his father, you know, that his father created him, okay? His father is responsible for bringing that's besides that, but there has been an additional change to his physical body after he came into this world. There is a mark, there is a choysam, called a seal on his body after he came into this world that was done to him because that would happen because his father went through the effort that it should be done. And not only did he go through, it's his obligation. Did Esav have a bris milah? No. Chazal make it very clear, Esav did never had a bris milah. When he was born, he was red. And the doctors said, we are afraid he has hemophilia, is that what it's called? He'll bleed
Rabbi,
out.
When Medrash Rabbah says that he did have a milah, that's why he was punished, that she went to Shechem, who was an oral. He should have given Dina to Esav.
He did not have a bris milah. Esav did not have a bris milah.
Medrash says that Yaakov hid Dina, right, in the box.
Yeah.
Why? He didn't want Esav Rasha to have a look at her.
Right.
So if he would have, could be, she would have been machzel lamutim. It's very hard to understand.
All right, that's a different topic. We're not up to that.
His punishment was, you didn't want to give it to a state, as I mentioned. You didn't want to give it to a moil, you're going to give it to an oral. You end up taking short oral.
All right, okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, there's a conflicting midrashim then. That's correct. The other midrashim that a long elaboration on this, is that he was born red. They felt it was a sakana. They could not give him a bris milah. And then he got older and they realized the time is now he can have a bris milah. So they said bris milah. So he said, no, I have to prepare. I have to make hachonis for the bris milah. And he kept on delaying and delaying and delaying, and he ultimately pushed it off. He never had a bris milah. The Pharisee was an elaboration of how he delayed the bris milah. Okay, I hear what you're saying. There's another medrash that says just the opposite. Maybe that medrash means that he's Jewish. At least he has Jewish blood. Okay, I hear. But that's not, I don't even, we don't even need this point. This point is not relevant to our topic. The point is that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of Esav because Esav had a connection to his father through the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Ovos. Eretz asher nishpati la'avoseichem lo seis lohem. Eretz Yisrael, when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you are connecting yourself to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu for 20 years was not connected to his parents. He was not home to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim. He was not living in the holy land, the land of the Ovos. He was absent.
But he was an onus.
Just because you're an onus, that means you're not responsible, but it does not replace, does not take the fact that you were not present. There's no punishment for being an onus. But how could you compare a person who doesn't show up to a person who's present? It's not the same. Yaakov vayira Yaakov me'oid vayetzer lo. What was he afraid of? I was afraid of the zuchus of Esav has kibud avoim. Esav is living in the land of the Ovos. Yaakov Avinu was threatened. So what does he do? Esav, you're a phony. It may be true that you mechabed our parents. It may be true you live in the land. But it's all lip service. It's misafa vilachutz. I'm sending you angels. A Hanukkah present. I'm sending you my angels to show you, look what I got. I have an appreciation of what it means to be connected to my Father. I'm sending you malachim that were created through the performance of Bris Milah. The essence of Bris Milah is a mitzvah which creates a bond between a child and a father. It's symbolic. You are right. I lost out for 20 years being Mashamish, my father. I lost out for 20 years not living in the land. That is correct. That's something that is a mu'uvus she'eino yochol l'skoin. But don't get carried away here. Don't think you have one up on me and you're going to dominate and you're going to destroy me. Because it's true, you're living there, but your relationship to our Father is fake. It's misofa velachutz. It's deception. You don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael. The proof is, Hashem gave you Har Seir. You're out of here. You didn't want to stay in this land. You went to Har Seir. And our father, what about our mother? What kind of honor do you give to your mother? You kill her child? What kind of, everything about, Chazal say, tzayid b'fiv, it was deception. It was all deception. My bond is emes. It is sincere. Proof. Look at the malachim that were created through Bris Milah, which is a true bond between a father and a child. Now, now let's go further. This parsha puts together many different stories that really have nothing to do with one another. Let's go to the story of Dina. Dina, day comes, all the brothers are out in the field. It's not clear what they were doing. They're out there in the field, and all of a sudden, what happens? Dina also wants to go on a trip, a chalamoy trip, a Hanukkah trip, go skiing on Hanukkah. And what happens? Shechem ben Hamor, he sees her and he rapes her, right? He abducts her, he rapes her. Is that what it says? He holds her hostage. And Yaakov Avinu finds out, possibly very, very strange, every word is an explosive word in this parasha. Vateitze Dina Basleya. It says, Vayomer Shechem, Vayakov Shoma. Yaakov hears. He got a report. Ki timei es Dina vito. Where are his children? Who cares? What does this have to do with Yaakov's children? Now, Rachmana Litzlan, you have a story, an episode in school. Let's say you have a family of 12 children. And they get a call from the principal. Something happened in school. So who goes to school to deal with the problems? The parents. Maybe even the grandparents. Maybe call the police. You go tell all your children? Mind your own business. You stay in Kollel. You stay. The one that has the responsibility to deal with the issue is the parents, not the siblings. Uvanov hayu es mikneu basadeh. The pasuk is very strange. The pasuk tells us where the children are. Who cares where they are? What? They're not relevant. Yaakov Avinu receives a report that his daughter was raped. Yaakov Avinu is very capable. He's a very capable person. He's not here a zokein muflog, a 100-year-old man lying in a nursing home. Yaakov Avinu here is in the prime of his life. He's a very capable person. He worked for many years. He dealt with a lot of things. He has a lot of experience. It doesn't say anywhere over here that he's a zokin muflug lying in a nursing home. He can take care of himself. He can deal with the situation. All of a sudden it says over here, Uvanov, where are his children? Uvanov, hayu es mikneo basadeh. They were out in the field with the cattle, with the sheep. The hecheresh Yaakov. Yaakov made a decision to do nothing. He made a decision to do nothing. To be quiet, sometimes doing nothing is the best thing. It's not always a good idea to go to make World War III even though, you know, there is no justice in this world. This world is a corrupt world. Sometimes the best thing is just to do nothing. Ve'hechresh Yaakov ad bo'am. Ooh, until they came. If you read the pasuk at face value, it sounds like he was waiting until they came. And then, he told them. He was quiet, not forever. There came a point in time when he spilled the beans. Ad until bo'am. Then it goes on to say, Uvnei Yaakov bo min ha-sodeh kishom'om. Vayetzi chamor avi shchem el Yaakov l'daber imo. They knock on the door. Who is it? It is chamor. Uvnei Yaakov bo min ha-sodeh kishom'om. When they heard. Who told them? I don't know who told them, but the fact that it says v'hechresh Yaakov ad bo'am appears to a degree is that Yaakov told them. Because why does the pasuk say that he was quiet until they arrived? That sounds to me that when they arrived, he notified them what happened. And it says, indeed, kishamam. Uvnei Yaakov bohu min hasodeh, they came from the field, kishamam. There appears to be a contradiction. I'm just playing, it says, it seems like they heard twice. It seems like Yaakov, when they came home, Yaakov told them his version of the story. And when they were out in the field, they heard on 10-10 winds, the media's version of the story. In other words, there were two reports. That's what it would seem from the Torah. There were two different reports as to exactly what happened. Yaakov Avinu relayed the information to his children with his chosen words, from his perspective as to what happened. But the pasuk seems to also indicate is that the children of Yaakov found out about this event independently when they were in the field. So they now have two reports as to what happened.
Maybe Dina told them.
Dina was abducted. It doesn't seem that Dina was available to talk. Her cell phone service was disconnected. She was locked up, it seems. Okay, I don't know. But it seems from the pasuk that the children of Yaakov received a double report. A report in the Sodeh. They were in the Sodeh and they heard, ooh, here what happened? They went home. But Yaakov was v'hecherish ad bo'am. But when they arrived, the silence came to an end. The news was relayed. And we all know, you can take the same exact piece of information and you can go to all the websites. It's fascinating today. This years ago, you never have to do this. In the world, something happens in the world. So you can go to CNN. You can go to Fox News. You can go to Newsmax. You can go to NBC, MSNBC. And you can see the same story, and you can see exactly the way they present the story. And everyone has a very different version of the story. Everyone, they have different language, different words, a different spin, a different connotation, a different narrative. The children of Yaakov got two versions of what happened. They come home, and V'nei Yaakov bo min ha-sodeh kishamam v'yis and now, by the way, they're called Anoshim. Now they're called Anoshim. They're no longer called children. They're called Anoshim. Vayichar lahem me'oid ki nivolo oso v'Yisrael l'shkav espas Yaakov v'chem lo ye'ose. We have over here, I'm trying to suggest that there is contradictory terms or multiple terms reflecting different messages. Mitzad echad, they're called bonim. Mitzad sheni, they're called anoshim. There is a double report. There's a report from their father, hechadish ad boam. He tells a father tells his children, my children, I have to tell you about a tragedy. A tragedy has happened to our family. My daughter, your sister, was raped. And certainly Yaakov Avinu presented the tragedy to his children with very specific terminology. And he spoke to them as my children. It says, Uvonov, his children, Hoyues Mikneu Basodeve Hechedish Yaakov Ad Boam. And when they came, he told them as a father talks to his children. Then it says, Vayetze Chamor Bavishchem El Yaakov El Dabar Imo Uvnei Yaakov Bohu Min Hasodeh Kishamam. So it's interesting. They called first the Bnei Yaakov when they heard. They didn't hear from Yaakov. They heard from someone else. And then it says they were upset. Why were they upset? Not because they were children, but vayis'atzavu ho'anoshim, as independent people. Not, they were not upset about the story as from the perspective of their father, because their father seemed to have calmed them down and told them, listen, just take a cold shower. Don't go to World War III over this. Calm down. And it appears that Yaakov Avinu's speech, the way he broke it to his children, if that would have been the only information that the children would have of this event, they would not have been upset. They would have been able to deal with it in a responsible way. The reason why they went meshuggah, they went to town, was because the information that they received, the other report, they received different information, not necessarily false information, but the tone of what they received and maybe some of the details that were not necessary were presented to them, angered them as anoshim, as people.
Rabbi Levine, do you think that Yaakov omitted
details? Maybe that's necessary. Is it really necessary to spell out every single crime is committed? Yeah.
Every single,
is that really necessary? I mean, these are all very tough questions. But I'm trying to suggest over here, there is a double message being presented to the children, to these individuals, these 11 people. They're a double message. There's a message from the media, from CNN, and then there's a message that's being, a report that Yaakov Avinu is relaying to his children. It's the same, the story is the same. It's the way it's presented, the tone, the inflection of his words, which are nuanced to deal with a problem in a very different way. When you hear the report from CNN, they became monsters. They were furious. First, vayis'atzavu ho'anoshim, they were sad. And then vayichar lohem me'oid. Ooh, me'oid. Ki nivolo osa v'Yisrael l'shka v'spas Yaakov v'chein lo ye'oseh. This is an outside view. Kanoim. An outside view of what happened in Klal Yisrael. Where did you get that information? Well, who told you? The media told you. But Yaakov Avinu also told you. Hechresh Yaakov ad Boam. He was waiting for the Bonim to come. And Yaakov Avinu was much, obviously, his message to them in relaying the details by itself does not appear to have been, would been enough to provoke them to rise up and engage in this retaliation. And okay, I want to bring out Mila, how this comes into Mila in one moment, but let's bring out this point first. What happened at the very end? Shimon v'Levi came up with a plan. Battle stations. We're going to tell them, yeah. You want to marry our sister? Yeah, but you have to have bris milah, you know? Yeah, bris milah. Okay, bris milah. They all had a bris milah. It was day three. They were all in agony. And they went betach. And what did they do? What do they do? Pause, this is very, very critical for what I'm trying to bring out. Ach bezosi osolanu. Here we come. Here, let me find the pasuk. This is very, very important. Bnei Yaakov bohu al hachalalim. No. I skipped the very important pasuk. I'm sorry. Vayihi vayamashlishi biyosam koyavim. Vayikhu shnei bnei Yaakov shimon v'levi achedina ish charbo. Vigilantes. Vayavohu al huir betach. They were confident. Vayahargu kol zohar, mass slaughter. Right? Pretty good, huh? Violence. And then what happens? The end. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon v'Yalevi achartem oisi. Lahavisheni b'yoshev ha'aretz baknani v'aprizi v'ani misei mispar v'nesku olai v'hikuni v'nishmadeti ani uveisi. What in the world did you do? A lot of words here. Okay, achartem, you made me cloudy. Lahavisheni. There are a lot of very hard words to translate, which I don't even know precise translations. You've caused me a lot of agmas nefesh. Basically, in today's vernacular, you say to your children, you've caused me enormous agmas nefesh, grief in your behavior. And this behavior is not good. It's going to result in retaliation. It's going to result in tit for tat, in a whole series of wars. What in the world did you do? He gives them Musa. And what do they respond? Vayoymeru, they said, what do you expect? What do you expect? Is our sister a Zoyna? You let this happen? And Yaakov doesn't say anything. Silence. And then we go to the next story. What is the conversation between Yaakov and his children at the very, very end? I told you. I waited. I told you what happened. It says in the pasuk, "Ubnei Yaakov hayu basodeh." They were in the field with the mikneh. Vehecherish Yaakov ad boyam. And when you came, I told you every detail that you need to know. My message to you, the way I spoke to you, this should not have happened. It's impossible that the way I relayed the information to you, my children, with my words, would have resulted in such a war, in such violence. What in the world went wrong over here? And they basically said, well, you're not the only one who told us the information. They didn't say to Yaakov, our father. They mentioned our sister. Okay, you have to nuance the point. The reason why we behave this way is because we heard about the story from 1010 Winds on the way home from the field. We were going home, we were listening to the radio, and they presented the story. We whipped at our smartphones, we went to CNN, we went to all the news outlets, and we read the information, and that got us all riled up. And then we came home, and you sat us down, and you told us what happened. It was too late. We were already tainted. We already were riled up because the report that we heard in the Sodeh, we came home in the Sodeh when we heard a report from a very different perspective. So Yaakov Avinu criticized them because he was shocked. I thought that I taught you. If the only way you received this information was through me, there is no way this could have happened. This result could have come forth that you would go on the offensive and commit this act of violence. There's no way. What in the world happened here? And the answer was, you're not the only one who told us. We received this information independently. And that information is what caused us to act the way that we did. Now you can argue, and many do, is that they did nothing wrong. They're saying is, you know, Yaakov Avinu as a father to a child, but you know, there's a whole world out there. And based upon the way the world has received this information, it is our duty to indeed do what we did. And Yaakov doesn't say anything afterwards. Yaakov Avinu, but there's a very delicate point I want to take out of it. I want to come back to another point, and that is, I'm suggesting this idea of the way you receive information in life has a major impact on the way you react. Yaakov Avinu desperately tried to give over news to his children in a way that would influence them in how they would react to the information. The way you present the information has an effect on the way you react to the information. Yaakov Avinu's children were already adults. They were out there in the world. They were taking in the information from the world, from the Goyish Welt. And when they take in the information from a different perspective, it affects you in a very different way. And in our generation, it's incredible how true this is. There are major things going on in the world today with the pandemic, with the election, and you hear in the media voices, mamosh, mikotze, el hakotze, to such extremes. And we all know that we're affected. That when we hear someone go on a tirade about criminal activity, it affects us. And then when you read in the other direction that this is total nonsense, and it affects you. And every area of our life, we have this experience of taking in information from different perspectives, even if this information is exactly the same. The same exact data, the same exact statistics, the way it's presented has an effect on how we react. And many times the people that present the information are very wise and very clever, and they're playing with us. They're trying to manipulate us in a very delicate way in how they present the information. And many times their agenda is anything but sincere and honest. It's for their own purposes. And that's exactly what I'm suggesting you're seeing here in this parsha. You're seeing Yaakov's children being given information from two different perspectives. It's a tragedy. Everyone is a gnal. But Yaakov Avinu appeared to present it in a delicate way where they would not react with violence. But that didn't help. Not because they're violent children. It's because they were fed information in the Sodeh by a person who was not their father. And that had influence on them to behave as a goy would behave, or in a way society deals, is you do this to us, we'll fight back and deal with it with you. And what is the balance? Good question. Okay, you're living in a dangerous world in Ikesh Tetapel. But yet Mitzad Sheni, Yaakov Avinu did desperately want to control the narrative. Yaakov Avinu did want to control the narrative with his own children. He did. And Yaakov Avinu is Isha Emes. Titein Emes LiYaakov. Yaakov is Torah, is Kedusha. Yaakov can be trusted to present you a narrative that is pure, honest, sincere, and will cause you to react in a responsible way. But unfortunately, the story of Golus is that we don't just get our instructions, our information from the Torah, from people that are authentic in MS. We're being fed information nonstop by people who are trying to manipulate us. And it's not because we're bad people, it's because the influence is so incredible, is so powerful, it causes us to react in a way that is not necessarily responsible.
Rabbi Levine?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you're taking sides in this.
What do you mean?
What I mean is you're giving, according to this theory, you're giving a lot more weight to the information that Yaakov presented than the other information.
What do you mean? What do you mean give more weight?
Because it sounds as though he left out, omitted certain.
Not necessarily. No, you don't have to say that.
And the dispute was not resolved.
Right, not correct.
You're assuming.
There are loose ends. There are a lot of loose ends here.
That Yaakov's approach was the right one.
But I'm not backing down.
That's a bias.
No, the reason why that's not a bias is because Yaakov is MS. Yaakov is Torah. Yaakov is MS. We don't see, we're so far from this because we don't live in a world, we don't have Gedolim, we don't have Das Torah, we don't have anything pure today in the religious world. So to us, we're stuck. But you can't say that about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov titein emes liYaakov. Yaakov is the Bechir HaAvos. Yaakov's image is etched on the Kisei HaKavod. I am biased to Yaakov. There's no question about it. To translate that to today's society is almost impossible. Because today we're all groping in the darkness. But my idea is, I'm trying to be medayik in the pasuk, that there were two reports, and the children of Yaakov were given information by Yaakov, and he had an intent to feed them the truth. Yaakov is not telling them lies. We have no idea what Yaakov told them. We have no idea if Yaakov told them every single detail.
The implication is that there were nuances or things omitted.
No! Who says it was omitted?
The severity of it.
No!
Because otherwise, what would have
said that? I thoroughly disagree with that. Thoroughly disagree with that. Thoroughly disagree. It's a matter of how you say it. You can say it with every gruesome detail, but you put it in the proper perspective, the proper Torah perspective of how it should be dealt with. And even if you don't deal how it should be dealt with, the way you present the crime automatically will have influence on the listeners and how they're going to react to it. I totally disagree with that. He's not trying to manipulate them. He's telling them, MS, this is what happened. And the way Yaakov Avinu presents it automatically, being that he is a holy person, raising his children, and only has their best interest in mind, results automatically in them taking on a different direction. But when you go and you listen to the news, who people couldn't care less about you, who have their own agenda, and it's all tabloid news, it causes you to react differently. I don't know what's so difficult about that. Why?
Because it doesn't get resolved. It's they have the last word in the discussion part. And
what do you mean they have the last word? What do you mean they have the last word?
Most people would say there are two sides to who was right and who was wrong. Clearly, you're leaning in one direction.
That's right. I'm not trying to say that about Yaakov Avinu. That's right.
A lot of other folks would not lean in that direction.
Yaakov Avinu.
I told this with.
I'm not apologetic about this.
We're not Yaakov. We're not the brothers. But from our perspective, to judge who was right. I think that's
we're mixing in, that's not a
slam dunk.
No, we're missing in another element here. There's a general drush on this part, the approach to this sugya. The sugya of Yaakov and Dina, forget about everything that I said. There's a general, you're mixing this into what I'm saying something different. The general approach is, there's a conversation at the end of this story between Yaakov and his children. Yaakov says, what in the world did you do? And Yaakov's children say, listen, Dad, it's a new generation. And then the parasha abruptly ends. So if you open up all of the big books, then they're going to say, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chai. The reason we have this conversation, Yaakov presents his argument, and the children present their argument. And there's truth to them both. And in every generation, in every situation, there has to be an analysis of where, what is right, what is wrong. That's a general approach. Let's put that aside.
There is something here that we forget. Yaakov presented fear. He told them, "Venesfu alai v'ikuni."
That was afterwards. That was afterwards.
And they said, no way. It doesn't matter.
And the fear of Yaakov is the second time in this parasha. First, he was afraid of Esav, and now he's afraid of Anashim Yavogia.
Okay, that's a different. That's a different topic.
Previous times as well.
He presented to them fear, and they said, "No way, we are going to fight. Achei Dina, we are Achei Dina. There is no way." So it's two approaches, like there was an approach in Ghetto Varsha. Shall we fight or shall we just die? And he says, we'll die, but we'll fight. That's it.
Okay. We're mixing in many ideas.
That's it.
Okay.
Say again, we have pride.
Okay, there are many, many ideas. We're mixing.
He didn't present it this way. He presented fear.
Yeah.
That was
when it already was over.
But not just that, but it's almost as if he's considering, when you said he's presenting what he thinks is good for his children. In reality, he's presenting what he thinks is good for him.
No, I disagree. I respectfully, thoroughly disagree. No, I respectfully, thoroughly disagree with that statement.
Yeah, all right. So, if you listen to my shir, obviously not. I think the most telling thing after Vayomru Hakazono Yaseh Sachosenu, it changes the tone. Vayomru Elokim. Previously, when God came to Yaakov, it says Hashem Yudkei Vavkei. Now it changes the tone. Vayomer Elokim el Yaakov, kum alei beis el v'shev shom v'asei shom mizbeah. And what does he say? Bivorcha cho mibnei esov v'chicha. Doesn't mention my sedina. Well, why not? Because Mr. Yaakov, you missed the boat. I didn't do anything to save you from, I would have stepped in maybe for Dina, but you were sitting there doing nothing. And I saved you from Esau, but Shimon and Levi saved Dina. And therefore, Avalo Radfu Achare B'nei Yaakov, not Yaakov, just Shimon and Levi and the rest of the brothers. I think God is making a statement here that Yaakov, there are times when you sit back and talk your way out, but there are times when you really have to lift a hand.
Okay,
I mean, that's the way I looked at it.
Okay, yeah, Chanami. There are many approaches. There are many approaches to this parsha.
If you listen to that sure, you'll hear the story that I told also.
Okay, there are many.
Oh, it's worth listening to because I think I made a very
strong point. Okay. There are many. This is a big, big sugya. There are many approaches, and most of the approaches they focus on the fact there are two opinions expressed. There is Yaakov's approach, and there is the children's, and they're both right. The Torah leaves it as a stalemate. Each one contributed something very important to learn from this parsha. What I'm trying to add to this discussion is something different. Because the standard approach is there was one report. They all read the same newspaper. And they all read the same newspaper. Yaakov Avinu had one reaction and his children a different reaction. I'm suggesting to you, no. Yaakov Avinu received a report. And Yaakov Avinu is in a different league. Yaakov Avinu is Yaakov Avinu, Zehu.
Right.
And the children are members of the world. And now they are getting the news as to what happened twice. They're getting a report from the media. In the Sode, they find out what happens in the gas. That affects them. The way the information is presented to them in the Sode affects them. Yaakov Avinu doesn't know this. He doesn't know that their children already received a report. And he thinks he's going to control the narrative. And he has a right to control the narrative because he's their father. And the father knows what's best for his children. And Yaakov Avinu and Klal Yisrael, there's a lot to having a father. There's a lot to following what the Avos say. There's a lot to it, a lot to be said. And Yaakov Avinu feels he knows what happened, and he has the right and the duty to control the narrative and to present the information to his children with his perspective, which will result, without even telling them what to do, just presenting the information which will result in a very different approach. And he proceeds to tell them what happened, not being aware that they found out the news in the Sadeh from with a different perspective. And then he wakes up a week later and he discovers that a whole city was wiped out. And who wiped out the whole city? His own sons. What? I'm the one who's controlling the narrative. I'm told you the news in my way as a father with my hashkafa. And that's what you do? I'm a failure. I'm a failure because this is not what I expected. I'm a failure. I'm the one that's presenting the information. How does this happen? And they basically say to him, well, guess what? You're not the only one who told us the news. We heard the news on the radio, and that caused a different reaction. And that reaction is what we went with. Now, I'm not finished yet. Now comes part two, and this is where it gets scandalous. Okay, hold off now. Okay, part two. This is where it gets really good. We start in the beginning of the parasha. Mila. Vayishlach Yaakov malochim lifanov el Esav ochiv. Okay, this is where it gets really scandalous. What do we spend all this time explaining? What is the essence of Bris Mila? A connection between a father and a child. A bond. A bond of the generations. Shimon and Levi could have wiped out Shechem in many ways. They could have nuked them. Okay, they can send them corona. They can do whatever they wanted to wipe out this whole city. Isn't it a little bit bizarre, their technique? Isn't it a little strange what they try to do? Oh, you want to marry our sister? Okay. Bris Mila. What? Bris Mila? What shaychis do they have to Bris Mila? Circumcision? That's the technique? The technique to wipe them out? What's going on over here? There's one word that really says it all. And this is what connects this part to the beginning of what we said in the beginning. Vayehi bayoyim hashlishi. Biyoysam koyavim. They were in pain. Shem. Vayikhu shnei vinei Yaakov shilv levi achei dina ishchaba vayivu alo ir betach. Betach. Rashi. What does it mean, betach, with security? Rashi, pasuk chaf hei, betach, shehoyu koyavim, because they were in pain from the bris mila, umedrash agada, bituchim hoyu al koychoy shel zokein. They had confidence. The zuchus of their father, the Zokein Yitzchak, his merit would be with them when they launched this war. What was Rashi's first pshat? The people were in pain from the Bris Mila. These are two sides of the same coin. What is Bris Mila? Bris Mila is the mitzvah which connects the generations. Bris Mila represents we are children of our father. And we have confidence that the zuchus of our father will prevail for us. They're coming, the entire technique to wipe out Shechem is we are children of our father. It is a disgrace to our father. This is where they fool themselves. The pasuk says, again, there are two people telling them what happened, Yaakov and the media. Why did they get angry? The Torah tells us why they got angry. Not because of what their father told them, because their father didn't want this to happen. The father told them in a very delicate way. It says, Vayis'atzvu ho'anoshim. does not say Vayis Atzvu Bnei Yaakov. The Bnei Yaakov Hayu Basodeh. They're called Bnei Yaakov. They were in the field and they heard. They came. Yaakov Avinu, now he told them as a father to children. But why do they get angry? As independent individuals, as people who listen to the news. Vayis'atzu ho'anoshim. Vayichar lohem me'oid. And what did they do? They wiped out the whole city. How did they wipe out the whole city? They made believe we're wiping out the city because this is what our father wants us to do. And to prove it to themselves, and to prove it to them, they employed the technique of Bris Mila, whose essence of Bris Mila is the chibur of a ben la'av. Mitzvahs ha-ben al ha'av. Vayovo alo'ir betach. Betach, the zuchus of our father. Bris Mila, the mitzvah which is mechaber a ben to the father. Yaakov Avinu at the end of the day says, you bunch of phonies. You want to go wipe them out? Gesunte hate. You wipe them out. If that's what you feel is the right thing to do, go for it. Wipe them out. But don't go wipe them out in my name. I presented the information to you. Ramachal, this fits maybe better with you. You're giving more independence. I, as a father, am presenting you the information. It's my duty. My duty as a servant of Hashem to give you a Torah hashkofa of current events. There's been a tragedy in the family. Let me give you my hashkofa. I waited until my bonim came home from the soda to present them the information. For my... the way I was mechanech you, I didn't tell you what to do, but it should not have happened this way. You went, you heard the information from the secular press, and you reacted in a violent way. And you go and you say that it was my chinuch which is what caused you to behave in this way, and to prove it. Betach, in the zuchus of the zokin of Yitzchak and the zuchus of Mila, you're going to use Mila, which represents the chibur to the father? You're out of your mind? The pasuk says, Vayis'atzu ho anoshim. It doesn't say, Vayis'atzu b'nei Yaakov. This is not what I told you to do. If you want to do it, do it. But don't do it in my name. This is not, if this is what you feel, you're independent people, you're adults, you live in a very dangerous Goyish world. If this is what is demanded, what you feel the times demand, okay. But this is not my generation. In my generation, in my chinuch to you, the way it was handed down to me, this is not the way we did things in the past. It may very well be that you are correct. Hoy roa shoh. The times demand that you have to behave like this. But don't rewrite history. And don't say, this is what the Tata said to do. This is not what the Tata said to do.
They took low cost of Abraham and wiped out.
Different story. The different story. Well, Yaakov Avinu.
I don't know one woman who would
want her. One story at a time.
Sat passively by when she was abused.
One story at a time. One story at a time.
Just not the way.
Yaakov Avinu at the end of the day, I have a right to say what I'm saying because Yaakov Avinu at the end of the day says, he gives a long pasuk thoroughly criticizing their behavior. If there was no pasuk criticizing their behavior, there's nothing to talk about. I'm not making this up. The pasuk says at the end of the story, he says to them, "Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'alevi, achartem oisi." I thoroughly disagree with what you have done. I thoroughly disagree. Lahavi sheni b'yosheva aretz ba'kanani v'aperzi. He didn't give them a bracha. The birchas Yaakov, they were denied a bracha. I'm not making this up. Yaakov Avinu did not bless them before he died because of this story. Yaakov Avinu, he gave them the ultimate mussar. I thoroughly disagree with what you have done. I'm trying to make it good for what you're trying to say. And that is, Yaakov is, if this is what the times demand, I'm your biggest fan. If this is what the times demand to do this, gesunde hate, wipe them out, murder them. You live in a dangerous world. Times change. And you have to adapt with the times. But to go say...
It's framed in, it's about me. You have, look at the puzzle. You have made me ugly.
You cannot say that about Yaakov Avinu. You cannot, no, that's sinful. I'm sorry.
To the Canaanim and so on. And their answer is, what about our sister? It's not about us or you.
No.
It's about her.
A father, no.
Okay? I don't see where you... Where you get that?
Well, what the Gemara says over here, by the way, is very interesting as well. That Yaakov would have reacted differently had she not been violated yet, but since she had already been violated, there was nothing to accomplish further, and that's why ve'echarish Yaakov Admoam. That's the Gemara, and that's a valid point. And maybe it's because the aftermath of his bitaru v'achlifu simla sechem osiru eselokei anechar. What were they doing taking all these idols with them? Why? Because they were showing signs of being around Laban all the time. They had a lot of influence from Laban. A lot of influence. Don't forget, Yaakov was Vatidachna Simeinai. He was 24/7 working in the fields. They were home and they had a lot of influence with Laban. And they took clothes. So he said, Osiru Eselake Anechar, Sher Biodom. I see what the aftermath is. You are running afoul of the law here, and your actions weren't 100% pure.
There's an awful lot of reading into things here.
In other words, I agree with you, Michal, but nevertheless, there is what they're saying. I see what he's saying. Don't do it in my name, which is a valid point.
You know, the Chassam Sofer. They said the Chassam Sofer, you would tell this Talmidim. If you want to plagiarize my Torah, gezunte hate. You can take all of my chidushim, you can go become big pulpit rabbis and make believe it's your Torah. You give a sermon and you can say whatever you want. You can take all of my Torah and you can make believe it's yours. I give you my full blessing. But one thing I don't want you to do, don't say your own chidushim at the pulpit and say, this is what the Chassam Sofer says. Okay, don't say your chidushim, your nonsense in my name. Okay, let's recap. Let's summarize. Baruch Hashem, I see I got you all riled up here. Baruch Hashem, that was a big accomplishment.
It's a big topic, yeah.
So let's review, let's recap. Very quickly, the beginning of the parasha deals with Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov Vayomol Rashi Malachim Mamish. Yaakov Avinu felt there's something missing. Esav has won over him. Kibud Avoim. The Eretz Yisrael, the land of the Ovis. Yaakov Avinu says, look at the Malachim of Bris Milah. Bris Milah. Bris Milah is the mitzvah that's mechaber the Av to the Bain. Fast forward. We come to the story of Dinah and Shechem. I'm suggesting to you from a simple reading of the Pasuk based upon the world that we live in the 21st century, and you hear these messages. We've never been a year in my life where I've heard messages mikotze ela kotze from mainstream media. It's unbelievable. Never heard such, never time like this. Extremism, polarization to the extreme with such passion. And you read the psukim, and that's exactly what happened over here. It's pretty, the reading of the pasuk seems to indicate that there was a double report. There was the news, the event of the day was relayed to the children of Yaakov by Yaakov Avinu. And by the Sodeh, they heard what happened in the Sodeh. What is the Sodeh? The Gematria, CNN, Fox News, Newsmax, Drudge Report, ABC, NBC, CBS, you name it, even PBS will throw in. Gam Charvoyna Zohar Latov. Everyone, they're the ones, a whole news report. Yeah, the children, the facts speak for itself. This you can't argue with. They acted in a violent way. Yaakov Avinu, the facts speak for itself, did not approve of their behavior because he did not give Shimon and Levi a blessing. He wrote a very long pasuk criticizing them thoroughly. Then they respond. Wait, let me just know. They respond. What do you mean? If the Torah records their response, that means they're right. They're right. And the Torah leaves it with that. They get the last word in. They're right. So we, how do we walk away from this? It's very simple. We know that we live in a very difficult world. We know there's something called Torah Shah. We know times change. We know we have a Messiah. But yet, you got it. We're not carbon copies of the previous generation. Every generation has a right to exercise its rights and what is necessary. It's a complicated world. Yahdus is complicated. The Messiah. But you have Chodesh Osam and HaTorah. But you know, you got to be with the times. What's the problem here? How do they kill these people? With Bris Milah. Oh, Bris Milah. Very interesting. They didn't have enough techniques up their sleeve in their playbook. They had to come on to Bris Milah. Vayavo al ha'ir, betach, the zuchus of the Zokain Yitzchak, he's going to save us. Bris Milah, mitzvah ha'bein aloav. Their entire thrust, their entire response was all with the banner that this is what the Tata wants. This is the Messiah. The Messiah, the Avos, this is what the Tata wants. Yaakov Avinu at the end says, baloney. You may be right. I'm not going to argue. I'll let you have the last word. You could have the last word. You're probably right. But don't say that I told you to do it. Don't say. It doesn't say in the pasuk, Vayisatzu b'nei Yaakov. It's Vayisatzu ho'anoshim. Because of the report of the Sodeh. You may be right. But don't say to my name. Don't do Bris Milah. Don't come Betach. I'm not going to... You could have the last word. It may be a Hirashah. It may be that it's not even Hirashah. Maybe this Taka is the Derech. I didn't tell it to you. Don't go make believe that this is... Attach this to my name. I may have given you my Haskama. I may go and I may give you a ksav, a haskama with a tzetel. Before you kill them, you can show them a paper from me that my father said we can kill you. But don't say that this was my chinuch. This is the derech of the Messiah to do this. This is what needs to be done in this dar. But this is not who you are, violent people of wiping out cities and countries. That is my idea. Baruch Hashem, I see a lot of people over here have a very, very violent reaction. Everyone is betach. But Baruch Hashem, that's the way it's supposed to be. This is not just to be fall asleep over here. It's good to have some life over here in the shir.
You know,
okay.
The Gadol Hador was Yaakov. They should have consulted him before they took such a drastic step.
In all these 3 days, what was Yaakov thinking was going to happen? They had to come, and they said, "What? I mean, he's living with blind.
Let them figure it out."
He came. What? You had a meeting with them.
That's what you have children for. Let them figure it out.
What was your thought that they're going to be part of us? We is Haruol. So you think that's what
Yaakov?
What was he thinking, Yaakov?
He was thinking, "Let my children figure it out." That's what they have children for.
Oh, so let my people let them figure it out. So in other words, he was gonna just stand by and
do
nothing.
Yeah, no. He told his children. No, he told his children.
To his daughter.
That's right. His children. He gave over the responsibility.
The Torah says, "Why did they all deserve to die in Shechem?" Because the whole time the conversation is going on for all these 3 days, did they let her go home and say, we'll talk about it? No, they held her captive. So they had it done.
That's a side
that's
issue.
What Gemara says.
Yaakov was not involved
The Gemara says he understands Yaakov, but they deserved to die.
Just because they deserved it doesn't mean you have to kill them.
Because they were holding on.
Leave it to Hashem.
The whole time negotiations are going on, they're still holding a hostage.
Okay, but just because they deserve to die doesn't mean you have to be the one to kill them.
Well, who's going to kill them?
Yeah. Hashem will take care of them. You don't have to be the policeman of the world. You don't have to be the policeman of the world. Yaakov Avinu was expecting results. But this was not the result he was expecting. He was not expecting the result that should
come before you. But you have to strike the first blow to see. You have to jump into the water before it splits.
Yaakov Avinu was expecting results, but this was not what he expected. He thought they would somehow, whatever they would do, they would act in a.
So he's living in a fantasy.
No, he's not. He's not living in
a Rabbi Levine.
Yeah, he's living in a fantasy.
I don't think so. I'm very confident in what I said. I have no. Sometimes you slug me up, but this time, you didn't slug me up. I'm very confident in this.
You didn't figure out some way to sneak her out of the palace.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Shabbos. Think about it over Shabbos. Ask your friends and see what they have to say. Shabbat shalom. Thank you very much. I enjoy this very much. I enjoy this debate very, very much.
Shabbos, everyone. Don't forget, Matzah Shabbos, Saint Talamata Lavracha.
And happy birthday to Tamari.
Happy Hanukkah.
Is she there, Tamari? Let's all wish her happy birthday. Is she there? Mayor, is she there?
Shabbos, everyone.
I'm upset because tomorrow's going to be a lot of Talamata.
Yeah. Okay. We got the bracha before we asked for it.
Yeah. All right. That's it.
All right, everybody. So one little Shabbos.
If someone mailings for me, don't be upset. I'm trying to get the list together.
Israel
already, they came out with a request that the Rosh Hashivas get the first ones to get the vaccine because they are in most danger and they're needed for Chizuk HaTorah.
We're in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
First of all, who says it's so safe?
All right, so that's why the guys are pushing the Rosh Hashivas first.
Before you give a Rosh Hashiva a vaccine, you have to ask Rosh Hashiva, are you from the Asar Rishonim for Shachris? If you're from the Asar Rishonim for Shachris, then we'll talk about it. If you're not from the Asar Rishonim for Shachris, then you don't have to be from the Asar Rishonim for the vaccine.
Some nutcase showed how the Havaya is in the DNA.
Oh, come on.
And this, if you take it,
the Dvarim B'Talim. This vaccine is very scary.
The Litvaks added more of their Rosh Hashivas.
Shabbos.
The boys of Sarovsky wanted to fight, and they didn't accept it anyway.
What, where? In there? Is it sold in the new members?
Yeah.
Who they add? How come they didn't add you? You speak a good Hebrew.
I would run away. Groucho Marx. I would run away from any organization that wants me to be part of it, right?
Great Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Dr. Friedman, that was you. Moto E5 play was you. Yeah.
That Yaakov Avinu learned 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where does it his kids learn? At most they were 14 or 15,
it says,
right?
In the field.
They learned just in the street.
In the street, the Sade. It says in the Sade.
Right. Okay. So Yaakov's approach was a more mature. He was already 80. He was always getracht. He said, I've gone through stuff before. You don't have to jump to this. Violence doesn't always begin. The boys didn't have that chinuch. Their chinuch was a mixture of... what you call CNN and Fox News, a mixture. So Yaakov couldn't tell them don't, because he knew they wouldn't listen to him.
The bottom,
they could only suggest.
They have the last line.
They said that's a very good suggestion, but.
Dina
is closer, is 6, and we're 4-12. And you are 80, whatever. So
who has the
age, we understand.
Who has the last word in the Torah? Who has the last word? That speaks volumes. The last word is the children. And the parish is over. They get the last word.
Well, it is this way because the whole purpose of chinuch is to let the new generation come in.
Okay, exactly.
Right?
But I'm trying to make the point is don't say that what you need to do in this generation This is the way it's always been from time immemorial.
Not, it's always been, but you can say, we're arrived in Achrei Rabin Lahatois, we paskin this way,
right.
And your time is over, and you have to follow us. We heard what you said.
The problem
is... We were respectful, we heard what you said.
Right.
It's a very good idea, but it don't work.
Fine. But the point I'm trying to make here is that they're doing what they feel is correct, and good for them, they get the last word in, but they're claiming that this is the way it always was. This approach.
Let me tell you something. If Biden messes up anything, he's going to say, I continue what Trump did.
Biden is a master politician. He knows the malacca, 50 years of experience knowing what to say. There's no one like him in the country. There's no one that has more experience of being a Pesach al Shnei Ha'Se'ifim than Biden.
Look, the real presidents are going to be Kamala and his wife.
I'm not so sure. Because
Woodrow Wilson, and the Eved.
Yeah.
They're going to keep him alive artificially for 4 years.
And his wife ran the show for a couple of years. For a lot of people,
that's
a fact. Okay, so you know, she'll probably Kamala Harris and his wife will be pulling the strings there.
Not after, you know, but first of all, he's going to get the best medical treatment in the world. They're going to keep him alive for 4 years for sure. There's no one that's going to be, they're going to monitor everything that goes in his mouth. They're going to keep him locked up. He's going to live for 4 years for sure. And the one that's controlling Biden is not Harris, it's Obama. Obama's moving back to Washington. Obama's in the news every single day. Obama is calling, making every single decision. Who picked Harris? Obama picked Harris in the news, public news. He all is coming out now. He is making every single decision for him. He was the president before he was his vice president. He's calling all the shots. And as long as he's alive, Biden, he'll live, he's in good health, and they'll keep him healthy. Al-Derech HaTeva, they'll keep him so healthy, they won't let him go anywhere. He's not going to even walk out of the White House for 4 years. He'll sit there in the White House, he'll smile on the camera, and Pesach al Shnei Ha'Se'ifim. He's good, he's very good at it. He's a very cheerful guy. People like to look, 70 million people voted for him. 70, you know what that number means? They voted for Biden. They like him. He's a nice guy. He's not going to go nowhere. Harris, she's going to try to become president in 4 years. I don't know. All right, all of a sudden, Kim, so, yeah.
Rabbi, are you possible to get a link or the copy of the Bar Torah today? Because I was in and out of the...
Okay, Bli Neder.